Okay, you still there?
Oh, yeah. I'm right here.
Okay. So how are you doing today?
Never better. We had a spectacular night last night in San Diego, and really the whole tour has been this over-the-top reception all the way this summer. It's just quite overwhelming, quite honestly. And we woke up here in Phoenix, Arizona, where things are kind of toasty today, I would describe them as.
Just a little bit. Do you prefer the dry heat or humidity?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I actually have a preference. There's it's easier to assume when there's humidity. So I guess between the two, the humidity is better for singing, and the dry heat is better for your hair.
Yeah, exactly.
two very vital factors in the life of a rock singer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So how long have you guys already been on tour? For a while, correct?
Oh yes, the summer tour is live and unzoomed. Tour that we're on, it has a steak scenario, Speedwagon, and our special guest Loverboy. This started in early June, actually the last day of May, so early, we'll call it June. So we've gone June, July, and now we've now stretched it on. Live Nation have decided to put it right up to the just about the fourth week of September. So it's been, as I said before, the reception and the enthusiasm of these, you know, jammed audiences has been over the top. Yeah.
That's awesome. Am I doing the math right that this is actually your 50th anniversary of the band?
It's the 50th anniversary of Styx, yes. They signed their recording contract in February of 1972, so that's 50 years ago, 50 years plus, and I've been part of the band for the past 23 years. And I guess I'm into my 23 years.
Wow, that's so incredible to just have that kind of legacy.
Yeah, it really is. It's something that we don't take lightly. There's a built-in, there's a word that you don't hear in rock and roll too often, but in rock music, and that's responsibility. But there is an inherent responsibility when a band has had that much of a connection with people for over half a century, and looking out and seeing an audience that's, you know, half of which on any given night, it was definitely an example of it, half of them weren't even born when the biggest classic rock records are made. And so, you know, they've come to this music because it really has had the staying power that no one probably foresaw, unforeseen staying power that's really qualified as the great musical statement of the last half of the 20th century. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all. It really is, you know, very evident when you see people throwing them. I mean, we had people in the front last night who, again, were well under 30, maybe under 20, that knew the words to every single song and were just throwing themselves into it as if the band has been concurrent with their lives all along.
That's pretty awesome to be able to see, you know, just such a range of fans.
It really is. It's funny, when I joined the band, 1999, my first 5 years in the band, I was pretty well entirely looking at people that had grown up with Styx. The odd time you'd see someone that brought a younger brother or maybe a young child, but 99% of the audience were people that you could tell had been with the band all along. But then that began to shift. And noticeably shift probably around 2010. And we started to see, you know, larger clumps of people that were definitely not there with any under any supervision other than their own. And they were getting very, very into classic rock. And then we started hearing bands, the younger bands, that were drawing very heavily from those classic rock influences. I would say, you know, Muse or Keen or Royal Blood. There's lots of younger bands, Tame Impala, that seem to be drawing from that. And it's just increased to the point where, as I said last night or in Los Angeles or in the night before that in San Jose, you know, at least 40% of the audience last night, I'd say it was 50%, are under 40 years of age. So they really are, you know, they weren't born when the classic rock records were, the biggest records were made. And for many of them, you know, a couple that I've spoken to recently, actually in interviews, they're young. The guy I spoke to about 3 days ago, he's only 21, and he's as connected to the latest two albums that we put out as anyone would be to, say, Grand Illusion or Pieces of Eight, because they're concurrent with his life and concurrent with his experience with the band. And so that's also a very, very wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I love that this year it seems to be a year of nostalgia, especially with shows like Stranger Things, where it's introducing a whole new audience to some of the classic music from like 30 and older years ago.
Yeah, it really is. As I say, it's the music has had lasting power. You know, you can look at the first half of the 20th century and say, well, the big musical statement was jazz, and we have all kinds of permutations of that. You know, with swing and with, you know, great vocalists, you know, jazz players, Louis Armstrong, singers like Frank Sinatra, etc. But from 1950, roughly 1956 on, it really is rock music dominates the whole planet. And particularly I'm very focused on the classic rock era because that's where the largest number of records were sold and audiences began to burst from a few thousand people to like tens of thousands of people that can sometimes show up at these shows. And that hasn't slowed down one little bit. In fact, it's expanded upon and we just happen to be caught up in it and we're very grateful to be so.
What do you think attributes to your guys' lasting success? Because, I mean, there's still music being enjoyed today from kind of that golden era of classic rock,
yeah.
But those bands haven't been together that whole time, or they haven't been producing music this whole time. What do you think makes Styx stand out?
Well, from my standpoint, I'm going to give you a musical perspective on that question. I know there'd be cultural and all kinds of other ways you could answer that. But from a musical perspective, I think that basically the magic of a melody getting into someone's head, especially at a young age, is not to be underestimated. The power of which is not to be underestimated. And if it happens to be connected to a lyric that they can see themselves in, or they can somehow personalize and make themselves part of the narrative, if you want to call it that, or the lyric. Once that's hooked in there, I don't think it ever goes away. That's what we're witnessing. You know, we see people that basically can still listen to a song like Blue Collar Man or Renegade or Come Sail Away and still see themselves in the lyric and the melody is the ultimate binding force that brings them back to that and gives them endless pleasure.
I like that. So I did read on your website that Crash the Crown came out last year, but that this tour is almost like a re-release. So,
it is. It's into the top 20 again on Billboard's rock album chart, and that's after a year of being released. That's quite astounding. It entered at number one last year, first time in the band's history that ever happened, that they had an album released. And on the rock album chart on Billboard, it came in at number one. We were elated to no end over that. But here we are over a year later, and it's reemerged in the top 30, and now it went to number 23 this week. So it's climbing again, and I would say that's entirely due to what's happening with these massive shows and how people are drawn to wanting new things in their lives after the pandemic years. They want everything old and they want it brand new again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How were you guys able to fare through this pandemic?
Really, you know, aside from the mental anguish that the unknown can bring upon anyone, we really thrived actually through it, because the first couple of months were frustrating, as they would have been for anyone, not knowing, well, where's the end of this?
Yeah.
But then when we began to accept that it could be ongoing and indefinite, we utilized the tools at hand, all these new amazing technological methods of staying in touch with our audience. And we finished the album that way, quite astoundingly, when we were well down the path of making a Crash to the Ground when the pandemic hit. But then we really threw ourselves into it over the course of that year of 2020. And in addition to that, we began doing the streams that so many bands did, and those were tons of fun to do. And the Zoom calls were very, very frequent, and we stayed in touch that way. And as a result, we really kind of gained or brought back people that were, maybe putting off seeing the band, et cetera. And then now they realize, yeah, there's nothing to put things off for anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take advantage of it when we have the opportunity. So it turned out to be, a time when we found a new kind of a new way of addressing things, and we came out of it really quite unscathed, to be quite honest, but still aware of the fact that it really had such a strong effect on people's lives, especially the ones who lost people to it. And that's just about everyone knows someone that is no longer with us because of that. But that all the more reason to take what we do, as I mentioned earlier, with a sense of responsibility and deliver the best, that we possibly can on a daily basis.
Good. As a music fan, I love seeing that so many musicians, and that's easy to just kind of give up when your livelihood's disrupted like that with tours being canceled. But I love seeing the resiliency of musicians and just that kind of opportunistic thing to create.
That's as a musician, you're going to really profoundly miss the human connection that the 2 years of disconnection brought about. I have many musician friends who are sadly, extremely dejected and depressed over the fact that, music is a language, and it's as if you're not allowed to speak that language for a couple of years. You go a little bit nuts. There's a little bit of mental strain that comes along with that. So I think the vigor that they've re-embraced it with is really quite understandable, and we're no exception.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. When you guys are in the studio creating, are you just focused on what you're putting out, or do you kind of have that in your mind, like how are our fans going to react to this? And like you
honestly
can't test that on tour or anything.
Well, you here's the thing. You're right. You can't really test it out. The way it is now, we really have to feel very, very convinced amongst ourselves that a new piece of music is worthy to kind of be a stand alongside the catalog and the legacy of the band. So once to a person, once we are really convinced of that, a certain confidence comes with that commitment, and so we kind of find a very deft way of inserting even tiny little fragments of new pieces into the show and seeing how they react, how the audiences react to them, and that's how we move ahead. Let me ask you, Zanetta, could you please hold on 1 second? I'll be right back with you. I have to talk to JY for 1 second. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. accept, and I push that, and then it disconnects the call. So anyway, thanks very much for that.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Sure.
Moving
ahead.
Yes. I'm more curious about what your guys' process is of writing music. Is it just something that kind of happens naturally, or do you guys sit down and take steps in creating your music?
Over the course of my life, I had a long solo career prior to joining Styx. I did 6 studio albums and the multi-platinum records in Canada. My records are only released in Canada. I'm the lone Canadian in the band. And I primarily, for most of my records, I wrote them myself. But toward the end of that, I began to do a little dabble in some co-writing. And I learned how that process can be very effective, So when I joined the band, I had a little bit of that in my background. And when we went to make these last 2 records, the producer of the record was very much involved in the writing process. And so for the most part, it was Tommy Shaw, Willie Vankovich, who's the producer of the last 2 albums, and myself. We would be in Nashville together, and I'd hear an idea that they maybe had begun, and then we would, over the course of, say, a week, we would just keep hacking at it and trying to throw various ideas onto the pile until finally things began to gel and put smiles on our faces. And there's really I can't distill it down to any kind of formula whatsoever. It's almost like, you push at it and happy accidents begin to emerge, and momentarily you suddenly get a shiver up your spine and know that you're on to something. And that's really the best way I can distill what the process is. And it's never the same twice, quite frankly. So it's a mysterious way of that these things emerge, and but they do happen, and when they do, and when they click, and when you see people singing the songs back to you, there's really nothing like it as far as, the emotional high that brings.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the pandemic and everything having to be so isolated, how was that different? Was it more or less, I guess, inspiring to write this last album?
Well, completing this last album was most inspiring, quite honestly. About 2 of the songs were written after the pandemic began. Those were written, solo. I think Tommy Shaw wrote one and Willie Vankovich wrote the other one. And for myself, I did a lot of writing and gathered a lot of ideas, mainly for the future, because we really just wanted to figure out how to finish the record. We worked on all the writing of it all throughout 2017, 18, and 19, and had begun the recording of it, and then it was until when the pandemic hit, that's when we decided, okay, we got to figure out a way to get this all recorded. But over the pandemic year, there are lots of ideas, lots of fragments that will eventually emerge, began to come together.
Do you have a favorite song on the album?
That's a real moving target for me, honestly. I'm very drawn to the title track because we've been playing it in the shows and it's been going over so well with audiences. So that one I'm particularly drawn to. There's as I say, it's a moving target because I also really like the song called Sound the Alarm that I think is very timely, extremely timely, and very hopeful and uplifting. And we need that right now. So I find that to be a great little thing. So as I say, it's a moving target, however, because I could go on about other songs in the record. There's one called Common Ground that I think is really strong. Last night in the dressing room, we happened to play one called Monster, and that's another one of my faves on the record. So it moves around. If you ask me today, then I'm going to say the title track, Crash of the Crown, and Sound the Alarm.
It kind of sounds like it's like asking which child is your favorite.
There's a bit of that involved, yes. On some days, it's definitely one over the other. Yeah.
I did listen to the album and did a review on it about 2 weeks ago, and I have to say, like, just it was one of those. I recently got into vinyls, and this was one album. I wish I was listening to it on vinyl. Just, you know, there's certain albums where you can just listen while you're multitasking.
I have to say,
this is one you just have to sit and just listen and appreciate it all.
That's great to hear. Thank you. Do you have a vinyl copy or no?
No, I don't. I was just listening to it Spotify, I think.
It's gone into its fifth reprinting now of the vinyl, because it really does. What you're saying is true. It really stands out as a vinyl record because it does have side A, side B, and it is a kind of a 40-minute little piece of entertainment that brings about a theater of the mind where you don't need to be connected to anything in the digital realm as far as your phone or your computer or anything sort of that. It really is back to the bedroom experience of putting on headphones and listening to an album, or you know, that form of entertainment is something that we really are trying to champion with these last two albums in particular, with The Mission and Crash of the Crown, because that's what ties in with the historic material that the band has done. That's the experience that we want people to have.
Since I started collecting records earlier, since about January, that's when I noticed, you know, there really is something about hearing it on vinyl. And where it kind of
noticed
that nowadays we're just kind of consuming music instead of enjoying it and experiencing it. So I appreciated that even digitally you were able to have that.
You're absolutely right. It's not something that, you know, we've relegated it in so many ways. We've relegated it to the background because we've gotten into, you know, our lives of scrolling and such short attention spans. And that's something that an album, you know, takes away from you. It forces you to kind of focus more like a book, where you immerse yourself in it and let it kind of wash over you and alter your entire perspective on things. And that's a form of entertainment that we've, you know, some people have rediscovered, or like yourself, you know, you've begun to notice that, oh, this is better if I actually, you know, drop everything else and let this whole experience be what it can be. You know, as I say, like a great book or something like that. So, well done. Please quote yourself on that.
Thank you. do you have anything else to add about the album or the tour or your guys' anniversary? Like, I mean, this is a phenomenal year for you guys. I'm seeing so many milestones for the band listed on your news section of your website.
It really, really is. There's no question about it. Yes. Just that we are elated and filled with gratitude that the band has survived, for half a century, and to see people so devoted to the band and letting music, affect their lives and bring them back to a sense of well-being that they've been missing for a couple of years now. And it's a joy to behold, to witness. And so come and see this tour and you won't be disappointed. That's it.
Well, absolutely. You know, just as somebody who loves and appreciates music, and, you know, music, like you said, it is a language. And it gets you through good times and bad times. So just as a listener, just thank you right back. So I'm happy you guys been doing this for so long, and you know, I'm sure you've been getting a lot of people through light and dark times.
That's great. In my life, I've witnessed the one thing I know to be true, and that is music has never let me down. So that's no matter what phase of my life I've been in, it's been there to make things a whole lot better. So thank you for that, Zanetta, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, it was so great speaking with you too, and we'll be on the lookout for everything you're doing, so thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. All right, all the best.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. Bye.